The 2015 Major League Baseball season is history. And as we wait for spring training to get here, we're taking a look into baseball's past to 1947. That's when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. In the months before that historic moment, Robinson played in Havana, Cuba, intersecting with another nation's sports tradition. The rosters of Cuban teams were filled with their own stars, such as Agapito Mayor, a player who spent many of his final years in West Tampa. Florida Public Radio's Luis Hernandez speaks about that season with Cesar Brioso, a sports journalist at USA Today. Brioso was born in Havana and grew up in South Florida, hearing the tales that make up his new book called Havana Hardball, Spring Training, Jackie Robinson, and the Cuban League.
In a lot of ways, it meant a connection with my dad. He's the one who, when I was a kid, would tell me these stories about American players who would come to Cuba in the winter to play, guys like Tommy Lasorda, Monty Irvin, and Ray Dandridge. And I'd hear these stories as a kid. And then as I grew up and I became a sports writer, I started encountering these guys as retired players and started writing about them.
In one of the chapters, you talked about how Mr. Robinson, Jackie Robinson, had to sleep with some of his black teammates in a very different hotel than his white counterparts. Tell me a little bit about that part of the story.
Branch Rickey, the president of the Dodgers, had decided to move the Dodgers spring training headquarters in 1947 to Havana, Cuba, to avoid sort of the problems that the resistance that Robinson had encountered the previous spring in Florida. So once they got to Cuba, of course, the Dodgers being the major league team, they played and practiced at El Gran Stadium of Havana, and they stayed at the very opulent Hotel Nacional. But Rickey decided to put the African-American players, there were four of them, Robinson, Roy Campanella, Don Newcomb, and Roy Partlow. He decided to house them in a pretty seedy hotel in Old Havana, an odd choice, especially given the more tolerant racial climate in Cuba. Cuba had interracial baseball in the professional league since 1900, so there wouldn't have been an issue there either.
In that first half of the 20th century, how would you describe the role Cuba and Cuban baseball played in the American game?
It was very common for major league teams to go down there after the major league season and play and barnstorm. You know, back then when players didn't make that much, the kind of money they make now, guys would have, when they weren't playing, they'd have to work for a living or play in winter ball. So this was a way for them to keep in shape and not have to get a job at the local grocery store in the winter when they weren't playing Major League Baseball.
Now that things are changing between the U.S. and Cuba, what do you see happening to the future of the game in Cuba? And again, that, I guess, collaboration between the two nations when it comes to the sport.
One thing we might see sort of is in the early steps is some sort of a posting system where if there is an agreement set up where major league teams could bid for the right to try and sign certain players from the Cuban League, from the Cuban League that exists now. The question is, well, how would the two countries deal with the issue of defectors, which is what's happening now in terms that's how Cuban players are getting here and playing in the United States. So I think there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered, and we might be a ways off before we see any real changes.
I've been talking with Cesar Brioso. He was born in Cuba, born and raised, and also a lifelong fan of the game of baseball. He's the author of the new book, Havana Hardball, Spring Training, Jackie Robinson, and the Cuban League. Cesar, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. Thanks so much.
The pleasure was mine. Thank you.